Well, hallelujah. How many enjoyed last week? I missed everybody. I wasn't here. I was down visiting my mother, and we had a good time, and we thank God for that, and we praise God for that. And she had her birthday. It's 91, and she had some good days, and actually was, you know, I talked to her a little bit. She had a couple of real good days. I was very, very, very thankful and very, very blessed. So praise the Lord. You know, so she's still around, but we'll see how long, you know. God has a, you know, we number our days, but God knows. God knows, amen. I told her, I said, Mama, if you get tired, anytime you're ready, you can go on home. Just let her, just lay on back and let her go. Hallelujah. When you get ready. So I know she's a little tired, but she's not, you know, physically sickly, but in her mind, she's lost quite a bit. So her dementia is not good, but we're still trusting God. How many know God can touch people? One touch from heaven, and things can change. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. I hope you enjoyed Alan. Thank you, Alan, if you hear me, that you stepped in and took over. And we always enjoy Pastor Alan. Amen. And we want to remember also that he's going to be traveling to Brazil. So if it comes to your mind, be praying for him. I know we will here as a church, but in your own time, if he comes to your mind. And sometimes we don't think about it, but sometimes just a short prayer can make a difference. You know, the Lord quickens you while you're working or you're doing something. You just pray for him. He's going to be traveling there, and we're believing God for great things. Amen. Hallelujah. If you missed yesterday, it was our prayer day with Brazil, and it was awesome. Amen. It really was. It was really good. And we're thankful for those that can come. I know not everybody always can, but we're having an impact, not just from here in St. Thomas, but in Brazil. Hallelujah. We're already worldwide, international. We've got people listening today as well, so praise God. Well, last time I was here, we were talking about 1 John. And the book of 1 John was written probably, there's a lot of people that have, you know, somewhere between 80, 85, or some even say 90 A.D. after, you know, but it was somewhere around 85 A.D., something like that, about 20 years after Paul and Peter were off the earth. It's probably 50 years into John's ministry here. So he's an older man. He has weathered some storms. And when we look into what he has to say, it's worthy of our attention. John did not deviate from what Jesus said in Matthew 28, that we were to go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all the things which I have commanded you. And here in the first verse, he said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Hallelujah. Which we have seen with our eyes and looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and hear. And bear witness. We've seen it. We heard it. We touched it. We saw him. We saw this life. We saw Jesus. We walked with him. He said, we bear witness, we declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we're declaring it to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. How many know there's nothing greater than fellowship with Him? Hallelujah. See, now some people have said, well, this here part of John was written to an unbeliever, but it's not possible because I don't know any, maybe you do, but I know no unbeliever And I know you don't, because it's not possible. No unbeliever has any fellowship with the Father. Amen? Amen. They can't. He's talking to the saint here. And what John is really sharing in this book, and a lot of times people say, well, it's about love. Yes, it's about love. God is love. But he's really declaring, how do you know? How do we know that we have eternal life? He's really sharing with us. He says, hey, I'm writing to this so that you can know and join with us and have that same fellowship with Jesus so your joy may be full. How many want full joy? How many know when we abide in him, when we walk with him, when we keep his commands that he has commanded us, that we will have joy? There's a joy that comes in knowing Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a joy that comes in fellowship with him. There's a joy that can't be bought by the world. Many men have sought it in many different ways. But when we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus begins to wash away and cleanses us. Verse 7 says, from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. It cleanses us. He washes it away. The blood of Jesus, his son, from all sin. How many know we've been delivered from sin? We don't have to walk in it anymore. And we talked about several things there. John chapter 8, verse 12, we talked about that when we have him, hallelujah, we've got the light of life. Amen. And John 8, 12, he said, if we don't walk in darkness, we have that. Let's look there, John 8, 12 real quick. I'm just kind of reviewing a little bit. I know I can't really do it justice right now. We're going to move on a little bit. But 8, 12 says, then Jesus spoke to them. Am I in the right verse? Yep. Yes, I am. Saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Yeah, he's gone. He shall have what? The light of life. John 8, 12. And we talked about that light of life that moved in. Jesus was the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. And then he says, I came to light your candle. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. There wasn't anything made that was made without him. And in him was that life, and that life was the light of men. Verse John, I'm in John right now, John 1 I was quoting. And John 1:4, he is that light. He is that life that moved to the inside of us. And now with that nature, we are free. We're no longer bound to sin. We don't have to sin. We can walk in the light. We no longer have to walk in darkness. He says in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Well, he says, well, if you haven't, you know, if you've never sinned, you know, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So, but if we do, if we confess, here we have, I call these the four ifs right here. It says, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we've got fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, we acknowledge it, and we confess it to God. We agree with him. If we have broken his commandment, if we have gone against God, if we have sinned, if we have said, Lord, forgive me, he says, he will. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And really, he was referring here, like the Pharisees and Sadducees, they would say, oh, we don't have sin. We keep all the law. We just do it all. We're just right. And yet, he says, you don't see, Jesus said to the Pharisees. You are blind. You think you see, but you don't. You don't know me. Hallelujah. If we're walking in the light, we're going to have fellowship with him. We can't help it. We have to walk. We can. We have the light of life. He says, hey, if you say, hey, I've never sinned, you're deceiving your own self. Amen. But we don't have to stay there. We have a Father that loves us, that set us free from that sin. So today, I want us to keep moving on. We went into the first couple verses here of John, 1 John 2. He said, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have the advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In other words, the price was paid for sin. Nevertheless, it's not an automatic forgiveness that we receive. If that was the case, if we were automatically forgiven, what would be the purpose of sending Jesus to the earth? Why would God do that? No, he said, I've given my son. And so we have to at least come to the place, if we sin, that we acknowledge that we've sinned and agree with God. Father, your law, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands, my commandments. Verse 3, he says, now of chapter 2, it says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, John is teaching right here exactly what Jesus taught. Exactly. So, well, where did Jesus teach that? Let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 49. He said something here. Luke 6:46. It says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? What did he just say? He said, if you, and hereby we know that we know him, what? If we keep his commandments. He said, I know him and keep not, and if you say, I know him, he that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar and the truth's not in him. He says right here, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation in the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like the man who built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently. In other words, it really came against it. It's a big storm. And immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Oh, Lord. But he that hears, verse 49, and does not, he's like the man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, but it couldn't stand because it was not built upon the rock of Christ Jesus, of the revelation of who Jesus was and who he is. Absolute must. Matthew 7:21 through 23. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness or iniquity. They're practicing sin. So here he's saying here in this verse, Matthew 7, 23, we have here that is the same word. He said, if you know me, Matthew 7, 23, he says, and there will process, I never knew you. I didn't know you. I didn't acknowledge what you have done is okay. And he'll say, depart from me, you that work iniquity, or you that work lawlessness. I don't know you. And we don't want that in our life. Amen. 1 John 3 said, it says it's the same word here when he said in 1 John 3, and hereby do we know, we have knowledge, we know him if we keep his commandments. Now, if somebody's living, we talked about last time, if they're living in habitual sin and saying something is okay, that's a problem. Oh, God's okay with us, we just drink on the weekends, get drunk every weekend, but other than that, we live good lives. It's just, consistently. Don't do that. It's not good for you, for one. But you're going to lose fellowship with God. If you're not careful, walk away from him. It's a mind-altering drug, for one thing. And I haven't found anybody yet that I've seen who ever said at the end of their life, I'm so glad I drank every weekend. I'm so glad I partied all my life. I'm so glad. Most of the time they were sad because it destroyed their family or destroyed their life. And it was not a good thing. So we want to be careful with our life. We want to be careful with our choices. We want to be sure we're obeying his commands and that we know him. Amen? He didn't alter anything, John, what Jesus said. He said the same thing. He didn't alter it. He said exactly what Jesus said. He said, hey, he doesn't know you. You say you know him, and you're not listening to him. You're not obeying his commands. You don't know him. It's not true. You don't know him. Maybe you committed something to him. Maybe you tried to know him, but you don't know him. If we're not obeying what he has commanded us, and our greatest commandment, of course, is love, right? Hallelujah. John gets into that. All right. 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy 2:19, real quick. I'm not going to be real long today. I know some people have to at home here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows. He knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity or sin, right? Habitual sins we don't need in our life. I'm not talking about someone that's struggling. There may be someone that has a stronghold in their life and they're resisting all they know, and perhaps they're struggling with sin. God will walk with you. He will help you to overcome. And we can work on doing those things that set us free. Like prayer, right? Fellowship with God. Worship. Meditating the Word of God. And fasting. And just confessing the Word of God, taking Him at His Word and saying, Lord, I know that You've set me free from that sin. If you'll learn to hate it like He does, you'll come free and you'll help somebody else be free. You won't stay there. Sin has no power over us once we're born again. The nature on the inside is greater. We cannot and we will not, if we love Him, walk in darkness on a continual basis. You know, today it's popular for people to say all sorts of things in the world, amen? Oh, that's all right. Whatever feels good, that's what was going on in my generation. Whatever feels good, just do it. Whatever your life tells you. But we know better. We know that we don't get to live our own life. Amen. We've learned that if we're going to follow Him and really be His disciple, glory to God, we're going to enter in. And if we walk close with Him, we don't have to worry about it, do we? Because we're in fellowship with the Father. We're one with Him. Either we're going to depart from iniquity, or we may depart from Jesus in the end. He said, I'll never knew you. Yes, Lord, but I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils, Lord. I did great things for you, Lord. I gave money to the poor. Lord, I've been baptized and I went to church. And it was all by a duty unto Him. I thought it was I didn't have that relationship with you, Father. Recently, I listened to a couple of testimonies from people that had near-death experiences, out-of-body experience. Some of them saw heaven, some of them saw hell. And there was just two or three, and I noticed one thing that stood out. They all came back and said, we need to have a close relationship with God. One guy had been a Sunday school teacher, went to church. You know, I know it's dependent on the blood of Jesus and what we've done with our heart. And the Lord said to him, He said, you could come in right now if you want to, but I'm going to give you a choice. He said, if you come now, you'll be one of the least of the saints. And he said, here I had taught Sunday school. I had gone to church. But I didn't develop that relationship with the Master. And we know that there's a different thing about us doing things for God and letting Him do things with His power through us to His glory. Amen? It's not the same. There's a difference. There's a place that we are in. So, and if we remember there in, if you remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, what about the man? There was a man there in that church, and he was with his father's wife, apparently, and hopefully his mother, his stepmother, right? But he was there, and he was saying, you know, he was probably a leader in that church. And he was probably saying, hey, this is okay. God's all right with this. We don't judge, what he said, we don't judge people in the church. We just judge people outside the church. But we don't judge people in the church. And Paul came and said just the opposite. We don't judge those that are without, but we judge those that are within. And he says, I'm passing judgment today. Even though I'm not with you, I'm writing this letter, I'm with you in spirit. And of course, the man, thank God, finally repented. How many know there's hope for all? There's hope for all. But we've got to realize what God had said. If we continue in sin, he says, and John, if you are habitually continuing in that, then there's a problem. If you're saying, hey, this is okay. It's all right. God doesn't mind me smoking marijuana on the weekend or all week long. It's all right. Just marijuana, man. It ain't drugs, brother. It ain't drugs. It's just marijuana. God's okay with it. No, he's not. No, he's not. And I'm not saying anybody in here is. But we need to realize our life is not our own. We've been bought with a price. I don't get to decide what I get to do anymore. I've got to talk to him. I've got to walk with the shepherd. I want to walk in that fellowship with him. I want to walk in that joy with him. I want to walk in that close relationship with him. I want to be his friend. I want him to know me so that when I stand before Jesus, he's not going to say, I didn't know you. I never knew you. You didn't come to me. Yeah, you did a lot of stuff for me, but you didn't come to me. You didn't develop that relationship with me. I don't want to be the one, you know. I mean, it's better than not going to heaven, amen. You know, being the least of the saints, you know. It's better than not going to heaven. Hallelujah. But he said, I didn't know you. By his coming, you know, to the church, this man in 1 Corinthians 5, I don't, you know, I know Jesus. I'm in fellowship with Jesus. It doesn't matter that I'm living in vile iniquity. I know him. And John says, the man is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He does not know Jesus. Jesus is, you know, John is holding fast what Jesus said. Amen. To those who cried, Lord, Lord, but didn't do the works that he said, that you know, he didn't do his commandments. And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. John is not watering down or altering what he heard Jesus say 50 years before. John was a faithful witness. And he's just teaching what he heard Jesus teach. He's sharing the same teaching, the same thing that Jesus said. Not all who cry. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe God has mercy. God has grace. He'll walk through hell with you. And if you acknowledge Jesus and you're saying, hey, Lord, I'm struggling, but I know this is wrong, fine, that's wonderful. I know it's only by your blood that I'm going in. I believe we come in. But if we continue in sin, there's that place that God can, you know, we cut ourselves off from him. He said, you don't know me. You don't know what you're talking about. Verse 3 and 4 again. He says, and hereby we do know. Oops, I got to go to 1 John. Sorry. I need to stay open to 1 John here. 1 John 2, 3 and 4. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth's not in him. You know, we can't say I know him, you know, but I'm living a different lifestyle. I just, you know, I think I'm just going to, we call it, you know, in the U.S. they say, I don't know what they say here, but, you know, they hook up with their girlfriend. We're just going to live together for a while. And God says, no. If that's a continual thing, no, that's sin. It needs to be repented of. Now, somebody told me one time, said, well, you know, well, they just got married. Well, they got married. They repented. They turned. They changed their mind. Now, if they are believing, you know, say, hey, I believe the Bible. We need to get married. Fine. You know, I'm all good. I'm faithful to my wife. I just cheat once in a while. But I know God. You know, God's okay with it, you know. He knows my needs. He's not. It's a continual thing. Oh, boy. Hallelujah. I know this isn't shouting message, but it is. Because there's hope for everybody. We can still, as long as there's breath in a person's lungs, they can repent. I know God, but I'm constantly using scams and things to cheat people all the time. I get on the internet and I steal money from people. You're lying to yourself, most of all. You don't know him. Verse 5 and 6 says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily, here we go, is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that says he abides in him should himself also walk even as he walked. Now, this verse kills me every time. You know, I feel like I'm getting that. You know, what Paul, Ellen say? Murder that flesh man. He who said he abides in him, he lives in him. He dwells in him. He acknowledges him. He knows him. Ought himself also so to walk, just as he walked. Talking about Jesus. He's our example, amen? I'm not the example, but Jesus is. You know, Paul's a good man. He's not our example. Jesus is. We got to go a little higher. We cannot lower the standard. The standard is Jesus. And we're all pressing to be just like him. And thank God we know that Jesus taught if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. John 14:21 said, he that hath my that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So really, if we love him, so I really love God. Are you keeping his commandments? I said that to many people that were, I knew they were backslidden, you know, they knew they were backslidden. They're sinning, you know. Oh, I know God, you know. Well, I'm glad you know the Lord. I said, are you keeping his commandments? Well, brother, you know, maybe not all of them, you know. You hear them saying to their friend, oh, he knows the Bible. Shh. Oh, man, that's a problem. You know, I'm trying to get rid of you because I'm convicted of my sin. But God loves them, amen? He's trying to rescue people. He's trying to rescue you. Thank God if he convicts you. That means there's still hope. Probably means you're born again. You need to confess your sin and begin to enter in and begin to know him by the Spirit. Because it is our spirit man that we live by if we really know God. He is not the father of our flesh, but the father of our spirit. And he said, if you love me, we'll keep his commandments. Hallelujah. I know I'm just going to take it here. Here we go. John 14:23-24, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. And the Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. We'll come to him. We're going to make our abode with him. We're going to move in. We're going to live with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. He said, you'll keep his sayings. If you love me, he said, you're going to keep my sayings. Well, we were there over in Luke, right? Let's go to Luke for a minute. We were over in Luke here just a minute ago. Luke 6. Let's go back over there. He said, if you love me, you keep my sayings. Well, where in the world? Let's see. I think maybe if we take a look back just a little bit, we might find some of Jesus' sayings. Verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to him who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. The golden rule, right? And here we see some of the sayings of Jesus. We can go, you know. If you love those, verse 32 says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. So here we said earlier, we looked earlier, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We say, hey, someone says, hey, I know him. I love him. Then we should walk like Jesus walked. How did he walk? He forgave people their trespasses against him. He prayed for those who were killing him. And even while they're killing him, you got to understand, he didn't wait till they repented. He forgave them. Forgave our enemies, amen? Hold them blameless. Hallelujah. He loved them. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He shed his blood for all men. He didn't wait until we repented. He didn't wait for that. He did good to them. You know, the Bible says God is good to all. Psalm 145, I think it's around 8 or 9. He says, God is good to all. He's merciful to all. But if our attitude is, says, you know, well, I'm going to love them, but I'm not going to forgive them, you know, for what they did to me, you're not going to go very far with God. I love them, but I'm not going to pray for them until they repent. That's not the love of God, is it? Or until they apologize. I'm not going to, you know, I love them, but I'm not going to really, you know, until they really apologize to me. I'm not going to forgive them. I'm not going to pray for them. But, you know, we know that's not the attitude that Jesus had. Amen. We're not walking like him. We want to make sure we're abiding in him. We're keeping his commands. Sometimes it's not easy to pray for our neighbor. Amen. He says, "What love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Forgive as I forgave you." These are the commands of Jesus. He didn't say, wait till they forgive, wait till they fly right, wait till they change their mind. No. He said, you forgive. You hold it out there. You do good to them. You love them. You pray for them. You believe the best of others. That's what love does. Hallelujah. And then he went on. He even said, well, who's my neighbor? Remember when they asked that question? How many remember that? Let's go back just a few chapters here, Luke 10. Real quickly, we see who our neighbor is. Who are we supposed to love? Luke chapter 10 says this. Verse 30, I believe. Yeah, we'll start in 30. It says, then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, will I come and I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Now you've got to remember, the Samaritans were hated by the Jews. They're hated. They would make special trips to get around Samaria. So they didn't love them. They didn't like them. And he said, here's the priest. Here's the guy that should have had compassion on him, right? But he just goes around. Oh, it's a Samaritan. No, don't bother. I don't want to get involved. Sometimes. You ever hear that? You know? I know I've got a problem because I remember when I was in Peru, they told us, well, you might see someone dead on the road or someone hurting on the road because they get hit there a lot of times on the Pan Am Highway. And, you know, it's just hard for me. They said, you're not supposed to legally touch him unless it's an ambulance or paramedic or something like that. So people would light little fires in front of them so more cars didn't run over them. I know that's crazy, but, you know, but they weren't supposed to try to help people. But I've got a problem because I just can't do that. You know, it's a problem to me. Why? Because I could get in trouble in that country. Not here, but there. You know, we should help people. But sometimes even here I've seen people, oh, they want to get involved. They might, you know, oh, they might sue me. Well, they'll have to sue me or put me in jail because we need to help people. We're talking about someone's life, someone's soul. That's a person. I remember a guy one time was down the street and I heard this big bang and I told my wife it's something serious. And I ran down there and there's all these people standing around his truck. And he had hit his head up on the windshield, and he's bleeding, laying over in the seat. You know, I open the door, and here's blood pumping out his head. These people are standing around. They're just waiting for the ambulance to come. You know, and he's losing blood with every heartbeat. I remember I tore my shirt off, and I took out my T-shirt to put on his head. But they didn't want to get involved. Oh, we called the ambulance. You know, they'll come. Well, first of all, they hadn't even shut the vehicle off. It's still in gear. It's still running. I said, well, let's shut it off, you know, not let anybody else get run over. You know, but it was just sad to me. They were all standing around, there's five or six guys standing around, people, wanting to see what happened, but not wanting to get involved. I think that's important. Sometimes we have to get our hands dirty, amen, to help, to see our neighbor, to love our neighbor. Who's our neighbor? Everybody's our neighbor, right? It's the guy that we like. It's the guy we don't like. It's that loud neighbor. It's that bothersome neighbor. They're all our neighbor. We're to love them and do good. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's just see one thing here. We need to realize, where do we receive then? You say, well, if we've got to love our neighbor, we love them with our love? No, but with the love of God, right? Well, where are we going to get that love? How are we going to cultivate that love? We're going to cultivate it in one place, and that's the presence of God. Spending time praying in the Holy Spirit. Spending time worshiping God. Spending time in His presence. Getting to know Him. Let Him transform us to where we don't just have love, we become love. We become that love. That love becomes us. We become one with the Father. And even as Jesus walked, we begin to walk. And all the things that we do out of the love of the Father. The compassion of God flows from that relationship that we have with Him. So that all we do, it's not based on, you know, just doing our duty. Yes, we obey His commands when we know what they are. But the greatest command was to love. He said, love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Love as I have loved you. Forgive as I forgave you. Let my life come forth. Let me be who I am in you. And let me live my life through you, really. Amen. That's when it becomes not burdensome. 1 John 5:3, Jesus says, you know, we can obey His commandments, but His commandments are not burdensome. It's not a burden. It becomes a joy because we begin to walk in the fellowship with the Father. Let me read that verse real quick. 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Amen. Sometimes we say, oh, well, it's so hard. Well, sometimes it's hard on our flesh, but really it becomes a joy. And when the life of God, when we're fellowshipping with Him and we become that love, then if that's what you are, if that's who you are, then how can you be anything else? Amen. So we're moving forward. We're developing. We're all growing. We're all a work in progress. We're all moving forward. We're all pressing in. But there is that place in Him when we begin to stretch our arms. Father, I love you. I worship you. We spend time in that private worship with Him. We allow His transformation to take place. Like Pastor Allen said when he was here, you know, we murder that flesh. You know, we take that knife and we cut it off. We let the Lord help us to cut it off with His word. And we die to the things that are of no profit to us. And we let the life of God come forward. Amen. Praise God. Next week we'll continue on some more things. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that we can know you, that we can walk in the light as you're in the light. We can walk in your commandment of love, Father. We can allow you to love us. And from that place, Father, you can transform us to where it is love that oozes out of us, Father. When insults come at us, yes, Lord, we hear them with our natural mind, but our heart begins to say, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Lord, let your presence, let your love come upon people today to know that even while we were yet sinners, even in our struggles, Father, you love us. But you love us so much, Lord, you're not going to leave us bound in sin. You're not going to leave us that way. But you're going to help us to be transformed until all we see and all that people see around us is you, Jesus, is Jesus. You know, he acts a lot like Jesus acted. The love of God flows from them. And he said that we'll know, they'll know that we're his disciples by the love that we have one for another. Amen? By our love, they'll know them by their love. Glory to God. Amen.